Welcome to Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio. Sports fans, golf fans, or just fans, welcome to, I'm going to say, not our best connection Get a Grip ever with Max Homa and Shane Bacon. Max, you're in a place, I looked through some facts about Bermuda. I'm not seeing a lot of cell phone towers.
Yeah, I think this is definitely the furthest we've been apart doing this. Shout out to technology that this is even a thought. I'm a little nervous about the Wi-Fi. We have every single player and caddy basically staying at this hotel all using the Wi-Fi. So we'll see how this goes. I did my part. I turned my Wi-Fi off on my phone.
Nice.
To maybe, clear up the connection. But yeah, hey, we'll make the most of it as we always do.
Try to. We've got a lot today to talk about. Not a lot to talk about at length, mind you, but we have a lot to talk about. I know tonight you've got a big game six. I'm assuming you're going to be watching it. What is your process for watching stressful games? Are you a surround yourself by a lot of people, or do you like to just kind of like lock yourself in the hotel room?
Tonight I will be locked in here. I don't mind being around people if I know where their alliance is. I did go to a Halloween party a few years back. I think it was when the Cubs won the World Series, and I was at a Lacey's parents' friend's house. And I just told Lacey, I said, hey, when we get to the house, I'll dress up, I'll do whatever, but I'm going to sit in the house for a little while and watch the end of the game. And I think it was a game seven or it was a closeout game. And I go in and a bunch of people watch the game. So I don't feel kind of like a bad guest. So I go in there and everyone's, grinding. There's got to be 10 people. And all of a sudden, somebody from the Cubs hit a home run and the entire room erupted. They were all Cubs fans. And I was in Southern California. I could not believe that I went to a party with like a bunch of Chicago folks at the exact wrong time. So tonight, I will be by myself. It also starts at like 9 here, and I have a tea time in the morning at 7:30 a.m. So I will hopefully be making it through the game. I will be a zombie for my 9-hole practice on tomorrow, but I will have the afternoon to sleep. So I'm hoping, Lacey brought this point up. This could be the next time I see Joe, he could be beardless because Joe's obviously not here. So this is a pretty monumental moment, in our relationship. I don't know if I'll recognize him in Houston.
Yeah, one thing I've always struggled with on the East Coast, when you go East Coast, and I can't not think about live sports. I just the way my brain works, if there's a big game, a big football game, basketball, baseball, whatever, I want to know what's going down. I want to know what happens. I want to watch it live. And I remember, we'd have these early call times for some of these events we do, or even PGA Tour Live, which we'll get to in a minute. No big deal. You're a part of it. But, I do these PGA Tour Lives and have 7 a.m. call time. So, I'm up at 5 or whatever. And I would force myself to turn the TV off, but I never feel like I slept that well. Are you pretty good at that? Or can you say, let's say we're doing this on Wednesday and game six was Wednesday and you had a 7:30 or 8 a.m. tea time Thursday morning. Can you just turn the baseball game off and just figure out what happened in the morning?
Yeah, it depends. I have a hard time. If I was playing a tournament round tomorrow, I would be asleep because I will never care more about what another, other athletes do if I am also competing. I'll never jeopardize that. At the same time, like tonight, I will stay up. It is hard to turn your brain off and just go to bed. But at the same time, it's like, where your priorities lie a little bit, I guess. So it just depends the exact circumstances. If I had a game round at like noon or something, I might push it to see if I could get my 8 hours. But, fortunately, this one, I'm going to catch a bit of a break. I really hope there's not a game seven because then I'm going to have to actually decide this come Wednesday night, but hopefully I'll be done. I'll be a happy zombie tomorrow. That's my dream right now.
I want to remind everybody, imperialsports.com. We have Get a Grip merchandise there. If you go to imperialsports.com right there on the front page, there's hats, there's t-shirts. People have enjoyed them. They like the shirts. They like the way they fit, the way they like the way they feel. The hats are great as well. So go buy a hat, buy a shirt, do yourself, get yourself an early holiday present. You know, I mean, we're a week away from the election. We are a month away from December. We're getting very close to this stuff. So do something for yourself. Buy yourself a shirt, buy your friend a shirt, buy your friend a hat. That's our pitch for that. Max, listener Joe Kareem, I think it's Kareem, looks like Kareem, responded after our latest episode about time zones, something I never knew. I don't know if you knew this or not. So pilots all go by the same time, much like my idea.
Come on, no way.
Yes, it's called Zulu time, and they use that when they're working or flying. And it's all the same time zone around the world. So pilots get it, is what I'm saying. Pro pilot podcast is what we are now.
We are a pro pilot podcast. You know what? That's pretty cool, man. Maybe you were in the wrong profession. Now that I think about it, your voice over the intercom toward to the plane, even if it was going down, I think I'd feel pretty comfortable.
Wait, it's like, did you ever listen to the Sully tape when that plane landed in the harbor and how calm he was the whole time?
Yeah.
Unreal.
I don't think I got that. I think I'd be a little more screechy through the microphone. I don't even know if I would have said anything going back. I think I would have been petrified. So glad he's a better man than I.
So I had a feeling you were going to be on PGA Tour Live this week. I just had a feeling going into it. I looked at the list. I don't know. Do you know that you're a part of that? Do they tell you? Do they email you? Or do you just find out through media?
I was pretty sure I would be one because I think I'm third ranking wise for this event, at least third from FedEx last year. Obviously, we knew Will Zalatoris would be. I like my group. I don't know him at all, but he seems nice. And I get to play with my buddy, Kevin Tway. But I had a feeling, which it'll be cool because it's always a little more exciting. And last time I was on PGA Tour Live, I did well. So maybe they're the magic juice.
Yeah, and can we get an update on the caddy situation? Have you met your caddy yet? Do we know much about him? Have we talked? Have we spent time together?
Yeah, Malcolm, he's tight. We communicate strictly through email. So I've been on my email a lot more than I ever have.
Does he not text or what?
Asked him three times if he'd rather be text, and he never really even gave an answer. So I'm going to go with, I'm just going to keep emailing, which is totally fine by me. He's nice. Met him today. We played nine holes. He played professional golf for a while, has caddied for a while. His parents live like on the golf course that we're playing. He knows the golf course really well. I would say that this course has a ton of blind tee shots. It's not long. I've only played the back, but it's really not a long golf course. But the tee shots are pretty narrow. We were, you know, kind of talking out the first few holes on the back. There's a lot of space and not a lot of fairway. And then the last, you know, few holes on the back, there's not a lot of fairway and also not a lot of space. So getting your lines on where you're hitting it is really important. And he's got them dialed. I mean, the four or five holes he told me where to hit it on the blind ones were like dead center of the fairway. So that's been a fun thing. He's nice. He's quiet. You know, I think it'll be good. You know, these things are obviously awkward. I would obviously rather Joe be here just because it's a bit easier, but the, you know, you got to see the benefits of it and him being able to go around this thing first time and tell me exactly where I'm supposed to hit it off these tees is nice. He tells me where how the fairways bank and which side they roll towards. So, you know, honestly, that part has been really cool. I felt kind of like, even though I came out here, you know, for the first time ever today, I did feel like I had a bit of a leg up in the sense that I didn't need to be here yesterday to play a couple of practice rounds on a new course. So he's, you know, I think it'll be good. He's nice. He's, you know, I told him today, you know, hey, we have a really early day tomorrow. If you want to get here by 7, that'd be great. Maybe 6:45. And he's like, oh, I'll be here early. So I was like, all right. Nice. Apparently he's been at the course every day, looking at his yardage book, doing some stuff. So, you know, it'll be good. I like him. He, you know, we seem to be able to get along quite easily and, you know, should be a good little matchup. Not sure if he's ready for PGA Tour Live. That will be a little different. So that might be, I can't imagine Rudy on PGA Tour Live. I'm so glad that didn't happen. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see, you know, I'm pretty optimistic about it. You know, I have a pretty good feeling about it. Nothing went wrong today. My bag did fall over three times. So we had a little discussion about, you know, what did Charlie Hoffman say today?
Three times?
Yeah, he said
Is it windy?
A line. You know, it's windy, yeah, but it's also super hilly here. And every time we'd walk away, he'd leave it standing. So we told him, you know, a lying bag never falls. So I just asked if he could please lay it on the ground. But, you know, I obviously think he had figured that out as well. So, you know, should be good.
So, all right. So real quick, the Malcolm, our guy, age, what are we thinking? Is he like in his 40s?
I would guess 50s if I had to guess, just from his timeline of like how long he played golf and how long he's caddied.
Gotcha. And then I would guess and not a texter. Now I don't give away his email, but is it like Hotmail? Is this Yahoo? Is it AOL?
Ooh, that's really good question.
Is he a Gmail guy? Is he at me or at Mac? I'm so interested in what our boy Malcolm uses, considering this is his lone lean in terms of technology.
Let's see what it is. Come on. It's Gmail. Nice.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. There you go, all Malcolm. Right, ahead of the curve. So have you, now he's going to be on live, so he's going to have people out there that are spotting. Have you gone out of your way to tell him how to signal clubs to the spotter to help them out?
I have not. I don't know. They'll have to guess. I'm not really sure. I'm more focused on keeping the bag, like, not from falling at this rate. So if we get to the club signaling, that'd be awesome. But hopefully someone just goes and asks him, because I'm not really going to tell him what to do. He seems like he's pretty locked in on the golf course.
I'm excited about this. This is going to be great. So you got a great group for PGA Tour Live, and I wanted to help you out here with some information. Before I get to that, I wanted to bring up what I thought was one of your best Instagram stories really ever today.
The Lucas Glover one?
What are we doing here, Lucas Glover? You won a US Open. Do you mind expanding on what you saw?
Yeah, 16 is probably their signature hole, I would assume. It's beautiful. You are on the cliff. The water here is like gorgeous. And it's, as I saw the green, I said, oh, this is a really cool hole. And then you just kept walking back to the tee, and it's like, I thought it was a 7-iron, and you go back to the tee, and it's 235, and the green is not big. It is, and the wind off the left, I would assume, typically, because that's where the water is. So it's like a beast. But I see this plaque, and it says, you know, it's the most nervous shot I've ever hit in my life. You know, Lucas Glover, winner of the 2009 Grand Slam of Golf. And I did not realize that the Grand Slam of Golf used to be here for a while. For people that don't know, the Grand Slam of Golf was the four major winners, or Tiger, and then whoever got second in the other three would play. And
listen, if you go back in the early 2000s, like basically 2000 to 2008, a lot of fill-ins on that.
How did they get here? So Lucas must have won and must have hit a good shot on 16, but like, it's just absolute blasphemy to say that. Like, I understand. Like, I told Charlie today, I said, this is the worst plaque in the world for golf. Like, this is truly the worst plaque. Not because I don't believe he was nervous, but he won the US Open, like, to play in this event. Like, he had to be more nervous for the US Open. Like, you're playing against three people, and like, not a hit and giggle, but like kind of a hit and giggle. Like, it's supposed to be a fun week. I mean, I just don't. I hated it, if I'm being honest.
I know. You know what? We're not going to see that quote on any U.S. Open coverage, I don't think, in the coming years. It's Lucas Glover, winner at Bethpage. Most nervous he's ever been? Grand Slam of Golf. The now defunct Grand Slam of Golf.
Yeah, the now defunct. It should have at least said, like, the most nervous I've ever been in Bermuda or something. Like, just like, let's like be real, which if he did come this week would be a lie, because the nasal test here is nuts. How far they go back into your nose. I was more nervous for that I could possibly be on the 16th hole this week. I don't care if I have a one shot lead. I will be more nervous for that nasal swab.
You know what? There you go. Anybody at Bermuda, what's the golf course called? What's the Bermuda course called you're playing?
I just keep hearing it's the Ocean Course, so I'm sure that's not the name, but
it's original. Royal
Port, I think.
Gotcha. Ocean Course, that's probably, I don't think that's ever been used in golf before, so I'm glad that they decided to go with that. So
it is right on the ocean.
If you want, I can reach out to someone, you know, that works, I don't know if they have PR or whatever, but you could get a plaque maybe next to the Lucas one about how offended you are. This is Max Homa. This quote, like an arrow with a quote. It's like where I grew up in East Texas, we had this thing called the Wonderland of Lights. No, and I mean, it, like, we had an outdoor ice skating rink. I used to sell hot chocolate and popcorn when I was in high school at the square because the courthouse was all lit up. And then the neighborhoods would get into it and you had signs, blah, blah, blah. People got really excited about the holiday lights in Marshall, Texas. Well, one house, I mean, a lot of houses blew it out, but one house in particular on one of the two main roads in Marshall, I mean, it was, they had to have spent, you know, $5,000 on Christmas. You know, Christmas lights are expensive. You know, when you're a kid,
dude, and electricity is expensive.
Well, and the electricity, that's right. The whole concept is expensive. It's just the money suck. This house, I mean, everything that could be covered in holiday lights had holiday lights on it. And they had signs and they had the blow up dolls and all that stuff. And the house next door just had a one strand of light arrow pointing at the house and said what they said under it in lights.
Yeah,
and I was always really appreciative of that. So that's your quote. There you go. You could just get right. Just piggyback on Lucas Glover. Go, it's not the most pressure he's ever felt, I promise you.
So my plaque can just say, like, Matt, like it'll say, I don't like this plaque. And it'll just say Max Homa 2020 Bermuda Championship.
There you go. Well, if you win, if you know what, when you win this week, there that could possibly happen.
I'm in.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. PGA Tour Live this week, you'll have a lot of time to fill, as you always do if you're on PGA Tour Live. You know, a lot of hours to cover, two groups. So I wanted to give you some facts about Bermuda that I looked up on Wikipedia that you could possibly share with some of your playing partners. Are you down for that?
I'm down. Hit me. These are my best Shane ideas, or my favorite Shane ideas when you do these.
The things that you never use.
Yeah.
Bermuda consists of 181 islands. 181 islands. There's a big island I believe you're on, but 181, that's a lot.
Can
right?
I add a fact, and I'm curious if you have it. Do you have a golf course per capita fact? Apparently, it's the most in the world, most golf courses per capita, which is pretty crazy when you think about it. I mean, in Bermuda, it's kind of random.
Maybe we should put the Golf Hall of Fame there, right? It's like the most golf you could find.
We already have a plaque. We could start with the plaque and then we could just take it right out and put it straight in the Hall of Fame.
This plaque is never, I'm never going to, I will never for the rest of my life look at Lucas Glover and not think about this.
I can't wait to see him. I'm honestly going to holler at him. I know him well enough to tell him, I know you were lying.
So the capital city in Bermuda's Hamilton, not named after the play, just Hamilton. There was originally thought to be only one indigenous land vertebrae of Bermuda. Do you know what that was?
I thought a vertebrae was only in your back, so I have no idea what that is.
So it was it's called the rock lizard. And so that was for a long time. I mean, the Bermuda people believe the rock lizard was originally the only vertebrae out of Bermuda. Well, let's just say
it wasn't.
A lot of information the last couple of years have come out about something called the diamondback terrapin, which they now have realized originated also in Bermuda.
Yo.
So that rock lizard's got some company.
Yo, that's crazy.
Yeah. So make sure you write that down.
I'm going to look at this place a lot differently now.
Also, diamondback. I'm trying to think of another animal. Diamondback terrapin. Can you think of another animal that's entire name is also sports team mascots? The Arizona Diamondbacks.
Oh, that's a really good.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Dang.
Obviously the Terps. And then their soccer team, the Bermuda soccer team, qualified for the 2019 Gold Cup, first ever major soccer competition for the Gombe Warriors. So there you go. That's some information about Bermuda that you can use. Did you write all those down?
Imagine. Yeah, I wrote them down.
Okay, perfect,
obviously. Imagine, like, you know, we're just walking along and it's, hey, Will, did you know that the capital of Bermuda is Hamilton?
Will, are you by chance like a lizard or a turtle fan? Because I've got some breaking news.
hold on to your hat, man. I'm about to rock your world. Yeah, with
so
this
there you
fact.
Go. That's a little bit of Bermuda information I looked up on Wikipedia. Thanks to all those people at Wikipedia that do that, which is just basically everybody that writes up whatever they want. Have you ever done a dive into your Wikipedia page?
No. I've seen it. I imagine it's fairly.
You think
fairly
it's light?
Thin. It sounds a lot lighter than the Bermuda Wikipedia page. Guys, by the way, I want to talk to you about this Bermuda COVID testing situation. This might be the safest place on the planet. If you're ever feeling nervous, come here. So obviously I decided last minute to play. I was informed quickly that there was a lot more testing. We had to do our tests, which we always do before we leave. Then we had to get authorized by Bermuda, the government of Bermuda, to be able to come. So you had to send in an application, got that approved. So you bring those two things onto the flight. You have to show your test result and this authorization. And then when you land, first off, I had to go to the bathroom so bad. And there is just the longest line ever. We're stuck in basically like the hallway leading towards where like baggage claim or customs would be. And there's all these nurses and people that, which was really cool. They did this. They were also incredibly nice. I would have been probably in a less good mood if I was them, just because they have to sit there all day. But
do you see any Diamondback terrapins or no?
They didn't even mention around? Them to me, man. They didn't so even wild. Mention it. They really were locked in. And then, you know, finally get my way down to the testing. And, the guy goes, hey, have you had this done before? I said, yeah, I've had it done quite a few times. And he goes, okay. He goes, we do a little different here. Didn't like that. Then he said, we use both nostrils, not just one. I said, didn't like that. And then he goes, and we also go all the way back to, he used a science doctor term, but it was basically like, we were going to touch the back of your throat through your nasal cavity. Really didn't like that. And
still about now, let me interject. Have you still not gone to the restroom yet? And you're like in need. You're like, this needs to go. I need to make this happen quickly.
It distracted me so much from using the restroom that I honestly could have probably gone another like 3 hours. It messed me up. So I go and he gets in my nose and then he goes, all right, now's the bad part. I'm like, you're pretty far up there already. Like, I don't know how much more room I've got. I know I got a big schnoz, but this is an intimidating thought. And then he found some more space. And then everybody knows, like, if you get one of my more embarrassing things in my life is I had earrings. When I was a younger me. And when you get your ears pierced, the first one doesn't hurt. And the second one's anticipation hurts a lot more than it really does, because now you know what it feels like. So the second nostril, not fun. But man, it was up there. And then we have to do another test on Thursday. So we literally have to do three. And if you're here longer than 7 days, you do one on the seventh day and then the 14th day. It's intense, but wow. Which is cool for us, because I feel very, safe here. I feel like it's not a South Carolina when we were there. It's a little bit more, a little more strict. So yeah, it's been, it's pretty crazy, but, obviously we're seeing a different country for the first time since this all has happened. And it's changed, just a little bit. And it's cool to see, every state in our country kind of does things a little differently. And this one obviously is a little bit more, strict.
Yeah. I mean, are you having to do the full, like straight up the both nostril test on Thursday, or is it a different test?
Oh yeah, buddy. Oh yeah.
The same one, the one that your plaque's going to be about.
Yeah, the one that my plaque's going to be about, that I like this, but this will be my plaque. I got it. I like the nasal swab more than Lucas's plaque.
Max, you know what? This is more incentive. Now you have to win this weekend so that we can at least make the argument that this should be happening. So can I get a grade? I mean, I know one of your bags got lost, not your golf club. So that obviously.
Oh yeah.
Bit of
also,
hit on
I
the
lost
grade.
My clothes. I was sick.
Wait. You lost your clothes? I thought you lost your bag.
No. My clothes. My clothes bag. Yeah. So I just got it like maybe 20 minutes ago, which was nice. I had to go down Shane today and buy clothes before my practice round. Of course, the only shirt I found that was like limited in colors was was a mizzen and main shirt, not the full button down, not the long sleeve, but it did have the freaking Phil Mickelson logo on the back. And of course, Charlie sent a picture to Phil. And of course, Phil loved it. And of course, next time I see Phil, I'm going to have to hear about it.
Oh, no. So, yes.
So things are really, really coming together.
I'm getting the sense that you're maybe just on the fence about Bermuda thus far. Is that the
thing?
The feeling?
Is I love the course and I'm playing so good. So I'm like pretty stoked about that. So I have a feeling I'm going to leave here loving Bermuda. But yeah, my time here, my first like 4 hours was not the best.
What is your worst bag loss travel story? Do you have one?
I do. Oh yeah. Well, I mean, my most like financially frustrating, and the only time I've ever like gotten in someone's ass at the airport about it was like, I was supposed to play a pro-am at New Orleans and on the Monday, and on Mondays you get paid. It was like my rookie year or something. And you get paid like, you know, $1,000, $1,500 or something. And the lady's like, yeah, sorry, we lost your bag. And I said, okay, no worries. I have work, you know, at noon or whatever it was, 1 o'clock tomorrow. And she goes, okay, well, it's going to get on the next flight, but that's not till then. And it takes a while. So like your projected time is from like 1 to 4. And I'm like, it was like 10 o'clock at night. Like you're telling me that's the next flight. Can't get me there. Can't get my bag there. And of course I didn't get it. And I was losing my mind. I said, I paid $40 for this bag or whatever it was. You guys are, if I don't get that money back, I'm going to freak out. Because you guys are also costing me like $1,000. And of course, I did not get that. I don't even think I got my $40 back, you know? Like, I don't think I got anything back. But at least I got to like vent to this lady who had absolutely nothing to do with my bag being lost. And she couldn't do anything either. So I pretty much just felt guilty for being like rude. That was my worst in that case. I mean, I've never been... Oh, the funniest one. I give you the funniest one. Because I would say that's the worst because I've been pretty lucky and like I haven't lost it for like multiple days. But I went to Pecan Peak, which is in New York once, which is really hard to get to. Even the airport we flew into was like a, you know, 45-minute hour drive or something like that. And of course, my clothes bag doesn't make it. My clubs do. So the next day I go down and I play or I wait, no, did my clubs come? Yeah, my clubs didn't come. That's right. Both my bags didn't come. And I go down and I go practice with like a Titleist made me like a little baby set so I could play a practice round or a pro or whatever. And I was kind of frustrated with these you know, whatever airline. And I called them or the guy called me and said, hey, I got your bag. I'm going to come bring it over. And I said, well, I was kind of being like spicy, but I was like, hey, I was like, not a big deal, but like, I'm already going to miss my thing I was supposed to do. So, you know, kind of like, don't kill yourself to get here. And he's like, okay, cool. And then, you know, that was at like 10 in the morning. So like, I'm thinking I'm going to get him by 12. Well, it's like 8 at night, like 8:30 at night. And I call the guy. I'm like, dude, where are you? Like, it's been all day. And he goes, oh man, when you told me you already were like, did your work thing. Like, I figured I just like, yours was supposed to be the first one I brought over. And instead I went and did everybody else's first. So like, I'll be there soon. And I was like, man, like not your fault. I totally like my frustration, you know, ruin that opportunity to get my bag, maybe after the first 9 or even just to have it earlier. So that was pretty stupid of me. Nowadays, I say I need this as soon as possible. Like, I don't care if it's a little thing. You just got to say you need it. So that was a bad one. But I've heard like horror stories, you know, like there are certain places you really don't want to like lose them. Like this one at least was like seemed fairly, fairly reasonable. Like they were quick and like got it. But you know, you have some, like, I know somebody like, you know, losing them in Brazil, it's a little harder. You know, they're not as attentive to the golf tournament on the web.com tour that's going on. So yeah, you know, hasn't had a really bad one yet.
Yeah. I was flying to Australia when I was caddying for my friend Irene and my bag didn't make the flight. And gosh, what I had never realized, I guess I'd never even thought about it, was if your bag doesn't make a flight, then it means it's got to get on another flight.
Yeah.
In Australia, that is like 2 days. So
That was the issue with this one was there's only one flight from Atlanta to Bermuda a day. And it's the one I was on, which is 10 to 3. And then they obviously have to get somebody to drive it. And that just adds another, obviously, exactly like 3 hours to the process.
Yes. So you said your game is good right now. I just wanted to dive a little into how you're playing and what's working. And if the cut's the cut, you know, I mean, what's been happening there? And, you know, I know you played a little bit of golf in Florida. What has been working for you? And do you feel really comfortable this week?
Yeah, I'm hitting it really straight. I just feel like my more so than anything, my misses are really small. I feel like I have a pretty good plan on every tee, like we talked about, but every shot. But I've been working on a lot of areas of my game, like always, not like we don't normally do that. But knowing that, you know, I go to the range, like today, for instance, is a good example. I get off a plane. You know, I'm not in my clothes, like literally I'm on a new range. It's windy. You know, you have every right to feel uncomfortable. And I do a little bit just in general body sense. That's why we get here early. And, you know, I'm on the range and like some shots are okay. Some shots are good, but like very little, like what the hells. And yeah, this course is a typical, tropical, you know, type golf course where it's really windy. It's kind of awkward tee shots. But like, yeah, I mean, I just feel like I know what I'm doing. I kind of feel like the, in a weird way, I think like the most confident I ever was in golf was in college, my senior year. I just felt like I always kind of knew what I was getting out of myself. And even when I felt like I played bad, when I looked back on it, it was pretty good. So I feel a little bit more like that, in a weird way. And I'm obviously a better player now. I mean, I really have been short gaming it great. Like I just feel really comfortable there. You know, my putting is coming along. Again, it kind of is similar to the hitting in the sense that I feel like, you know, in Florida, especially, like I'd miss a few, but I made a few, like it felt like it's kind of evening itself out. But yeah, just with the hitting, you know, the stuff that I've kind of really been struggling is probably a little harsh of a word, but just the stuff that's been just like kind of confusing. There's obviously always going to be a bit of confusion, but I just feel like, when you talk about like things coming together in your game, you know, when it feels whole, it just feels whole. This is the best I've ever hit it. I don't think it's the best I've ever put it. It might be closer to the best I've ever kind of short gamed it. I feel like I really feel like I have a lot of shots working right now. But it's just more like, I don't feel like I have a lot to worry about with it, if that makes sense. Again, it's not like I'm calling my shot here and saying I'm going to have the best week of my life. It's just, these are the fun times where you feel like you are, you know, one of the elite players, in the sense that I feel like those guys don't have these humongous holes anywhere. And that's more how I feel. I mean, I'm driving it really good. I have a kind of a fairway finder drive. I have one I can let rip, and the one I let rip is fun. I probably won't use it much this week just because it's so windy, but the one I let rip is fun because the misses are smaller, so I'm more freed up to do it. So it's like that. And like, I've always loved having a fairway finder when it's super windy like this, that I really know what it's going to do. And like I said, my start lines are good, so it makes the misses so much better. And I think that's what I've been kind of missing for the last, you know, a few months or so, where it's just like the start lines have been tough. So I feel like, you know, it's very close to all put together in the right spots. It's one of those weeks I could see myself coming out and really, really playing great and feeling comfortable because, you know, like I said, all areas feel like they're pretty, pretty darn solid. And yeah, so that's how I feel about the game. I mean, obviously I've been on this thing before and said I was playing great and played bad, but this feels a little different in the sense that it feels good.
And Max, you'd mentioned you were watching a little of the East Lake Cup, is that right?
Yeah, man, the East Lake Cup's on. I'm kind of still watching out of the corner of my eye. I love watching college golf, and this East Lake Cup's pretty fun. It does the match play. I don't know if you've watched any, but I had two takeaways. One funny, one I'm not as funny. The women's team for Florida has a player last name Fuller and a player's last name that's Filler. I thought that was pretty cool.
Fuller and Filler.
Fuller and Filler. I thought I was seeing things.
In the top five? Wow.
Yeah, they were both playing matches, and I watched Fuller finish her match, and then they clicked over to somebody else like maybe 10 minutes later, and it said Fuller, and I'm like, is this woman like going back and playing like 2 18s? Like, that's pretty amazing. But it wasn't, you know, it was a literal different name. But yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. If I was recruiting, I would recruit strictly on names, cool names.
Yeah, like that. Obviously, I'm the same way.
The part I don't like, Shane, I'm sure you've seen this because you have graced the world with your amateur golf coverage when you were announcing for the U.S. Amateur, U.S. Junior, all those things. I know that they don't have golf coaches there, but we talk about slow play a lot in the professional game. On the 18th hole, this kid was had a putt, and it was a putt that he needed to make it to have any chance of extending. So I understand it's a big deal. It was the biggest putt of the match, obviously. But he had both coaches in, or maybe one coach in, to read the putt. And I spaced out on my phone for, no lie, 4 to 5 minutes, and he hadn't hit it yet. So my beef has multiple levels here. But first off, the slow play thing, which maybe they're getting from the pros, I don't know. But it's obviously starting somewhere, and that to me is it. Having a coach read your putt for that long seems pretty crazy. Having the coaches with the greens book seems kind of like a lot, but hey, if you can do it in an orderly fashion and that's your thing, then do it, right? But they are teaching a bad habit in the sense that that's, first off, against the rules, technically. And second, I don't think that made the process of making the putt better. Like, I just don't think that 4 or 5 minutes to hit a putt is a good idea. I don't think that settles your nerves. I think it just makes you way too focused on everything else, but like the putt, like itself, like hitting a good putt. When you watch Tiger back in the day, I know he is, you know, especially on his like clutch putts, he's maybe a shade on the slower side, but it's not like he was he always looks at the putt from every angle. At this point, it was like you're looking at it like from, it felt like underground at some point. Like, it was just too much. I don't know if you saw that in the amateur level like I just did, goodness, but it's a lot, man. I don't know. You to me, to perform better, you need to be a little faster than that.
Yeah, well, what's so crazy is I feel like the AJGA has tackled the whole slow play thing well. Get these junior kids that go through the, if you play high-level junior golf, you play AJGA events, and they will penalize you. You know, if you are out of position, you will get penalized by them. And that's the process to make sure it's quick. I feel like when you get to college, you can be as slow as you want, and nobody cares, and nothing happens, and there's no penalties. And we've seen professionally fewer handed out as well, especially on the PGA Tour. And so, you know, I just think you're kind of allowed to be as slow as you want if nothing's going to come from it. Now, do I agree with that as a player? Do I think it's right for a player to be, you know, excruciatingly slow? No, but if nothing's going to happen and you know that's how you play your best golf, you know, that's on to me. It's on the colleges, it's on the coaches, and it's on the NCAA. And then, you know, then you turn professional and it's on, you know, the USGA and the RNA and the PGA Tour and the LPGA Tour and beyond to say we are not going to accept slow play at a time in our world where everything's fast, fast, fast.
It feels like it's like all around, even in college a little bit, but all around someone's probably like in your ear, like, hey, you know, you guys are behind, you need to hurry up, we might penalize you. And this is for professional golf too. And then you get on the 18th hole or the last hole and it's a big moment. And it's like the time, like the clock just stops on that. Like the shot clock stops and it's just, like, how many minutes would be too many? Because I'd like to see that, like, in a weird way. Like, one time somebody just decides, hey, I'm going to take 10 minutes to read this putt.
Right.
I'm going to look at it every which way. I'm going to make my own greens book on this hole, basically. And at some point, it's like, yeah, like, you got to hit the ball, right? So it's almost like, since you can't really, it seems like you can't seem to get penalized on the last hole, there's no rules. And again, like, I get it was a big moment, and I didn't get to watch enough to see if like that's how they did it every time. Because if so, then obviously it's working for them, and I'm just taking a really small sample size of the result. But man, it was like I'm trying to look at it both sides of the coin here as someone who wants to perform their best, and also from somebody's point of view that's being entertained. And it wasn't entertaining, obviously, but like I just don't get how that would be a performance enhancing option. It's just like you're icing yourself. You're literally like calling a timeout on yourself, and you're looking at a putt that is probably right edge, and you're deciding if it's right edge or a quarter of an inch right of that. Like, hit your putt. Like, I think you'll play better.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. Apologies, we're having some Wi-Fi issues. Max is in believing that every player at the hotel has just fired up Netflix all at the same time, and that, you know what, that is going to be an issue here in Bermuda. I want to get to flights before we go. Obviously, a little bit more of a condensed episode here, but you know what? Sometimes that's going to be the case. I've got a good amount of flights, Max. I actually wrote down a decent amount. I'm going to start here with a dumb idea. You know, a big thing to come out of last week's event. I don't know if you watched any of it. I know you were traveling, but there was a lot of audio bleeping in that final round with Justin Thomas and
Rahm. Shout out to Justin.
That became a big thing. You know, the bleep was happening. The audio would cut out. You know, somebody's on the button. You got to be on the button. You got to be quick with that. I had a dumb idea. I want to just sign up with my cable company and go, I'm good with cussing. You don't ever have to bleep anything out for my package. It can just send all of it through. I don't care what it is. I don't need censorship. My home can cuss all you want on every TV, on all the boxes. You know, I got more than one box here. Let's let me sign up with DirecTV and go, I'm down for all of it.
This is my favorite idea you've had. That is not a dumb idea. That's a great idea. That is absolutely a great idea. Because you shouldn't be subjected to something. You shouldn't have to not be able to hear something that you're okay hearing, you know, like, and Justin at the same time, or whoever is also, if he's saying it and he knows microphones are on, he's at that point consenting to you hearing it. So
he's okay with it too.
It's good. Right. It's good. I'm in.
We curse on this podcast. We curse when we play golf. Most people do. If you don't, that's awesome.
Give it a shot, it makes it a lot better.
It's way more fun when you hit one out of bounds. It feels better. It really does feel better. One of my other good ideas, and this is going to be one word good idea, just vote. You can vote this week, next week, whatever. That'd be a good idea. Anyway, go ahead.
I have a feel-good Friday on an actual Friday. Neil Schuster from No Laying Up broke par for the first time ever. With a rental set without a driver.
Were you playing with them? I was following along on Insta. I was following their Instagram about it.
We got the update on 13 that he was a developing situation. There was a developing situation. He stuffed it on 16. We watched him hit a good chip on 17. And so he was 2 under going into 18. And it was like, no brainer, he's going to do it. And then he hits his chip, which was a good chip. It went over the green, but he still had 20 feet. And then he ran it like 4 feet low left. And then all of a sudden, and he said it too, if you want to get some info on this, go listen to their podcast, because really this part was just so funny and it was very relatable. But he said, he said all of a sudden, he's like, oh my God, I can make double and like not do this. But he made it. He fist pumped. It was really exciting. Everyone was pissed he didn't do it on the Strap Series, but it was really cool. I mean, he got over the hump. He should have broken par. I mean, it's a 2 handicap. He hits it really well, and he's got, you know, good skills. So it was well overdue that he did it. So that was my feel good Friday. I have a quick life hack for you, Shane, considering it rains here quite often. When it rains, you have your umbrella out. Your umbrella obviously gets really wet. And if you just close it and wrap it up and put it in your golf bag or wherever you're going to put it, it's still pretty darn wet. Little life hack. I'm sure this isn't like this won't knock your socks off, but take the umbrella and like half close it and then open it and close it really aggressively like 3-4 times, and it shoots all the water off of it. Not all of it, but most of it. And then it's dried up pretty quick. So I did that today. It's just an easy one. And then I added, if you want to point it at your friend or an enemy, it could be funny. So add that if you'd like.
And just if you can capture this week, if it rains again, let's get Malcolm to video you doing the life hack, and we'll throw it up.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, you'd look cool doing it. You'd look sharp. You'd probably do it pretty fast. Good speed. You know,
I got good speed. Yeah, I'm the Bryson DeChambeau of speed with the umbrella. I've been really working on it.
I like that. I had a best thing I heard this week from my my instructor. I don't go to an instructor a whole bunch, probably twice
a year. You look good, Shane.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Scott Sackett, shout out. Really good dude in Phoenix if you're ever looking for somebody to help you out. I've been going to him for a few years. He told me this, which I feel like is something you don't hear a lot. So I have spent the last year really trying to smooth things out. So if I'm between clubs, Max, I've been trying to hit the stronger club. You know, if it's a 7 and 8, I'm trying to hit 7 and hit a smoother one. He basically was like, just hit it harder, swing a little harder. And I was like, nice. I like hearing that from my instructor. Instead of being this finessey guy, he's like, you're not a finesse golfer. Just hit it hard. And I was like, okay, fair. I like that. So that was my best thing I heard this week.
So it's a little know your game situation. Know yourself. You're a meathead. You want to say you hit a 9 when it should have been a 7.
But it's not about that. I know you always throw that my way, but
it's just so easy.
I definitely feel like there's a time and place for it. But the thing, and I've told you this off the podcast, I have been now struggling since I've gone through this whole finesse thing. When I need to hit something hard, I'm having a hard time hitting it anywhere close to where I'm trying. So it was, I just thought that was something cool. You know, your tempo, playing a lot of golf with you, your tempo has rubbed off on me because you have this, you know, it's like salivating tempo. It's just so stupid when I watch you hit it. And it goes,
I agree.
It just goes for fucking ever when you do it. And it's so annoying. And so I've tried to be more maxed in my life. But he was like, you know what? Let's keep the speed up a little bit through that 7 iron.
The middle, hey guys, here's another little life hack. The middle of the face on all your clubs, putter all the way to driver, it makes the ball go farther. Like it just, or further. It really does. Like that's a secret. That's a secret sauce to hitting it, you know?
I have a life hack I've come up with during this podcast that I'm going to present to you. It's more of a Shane life hack to pass along to my friend. Is that okay?
I would love that.
So you're packing on a Sunday or a Monday or Tuesday, whatever, and you're going to change planes.
I need to cut you off. Filler has a putt to win her match right now. It's like 2 feet.
Who's it against? Fuller?
No, they're on the same team.
I know.
She missed it. Oh no.
Fuller should have hit it. Should have been Fuller.
Like a 2-footer.
So you were talking about.
She made her putt that for 2 putts? Whoa.
Oh, wait, my gosh.
I'm really confused. Oh, my gosh. She needed 2 putts from 2 feet. She ran it two and a half more feet by. This is the developing situation.
Wait, it's stroke play or match play?
I think it's match play. Dude, I can't believe she hit that first putt so hard. Oh, God. I'm super nervous. Okay, she made the next one. The next one was like literally 1.5 feet.
The same distance?
Why'd she run it by? Okay, sorry. Go back.
So you were talking earlier about the slow play thing. I would say covering all those USGA events, personally, the amateur events, young players need to be taught to concede putts. Nobody does it.
Wow, and it's weird.
Bananas. You know, we'd be like broadcasting it. Yeah, we'd be broadcasting it. And there'd be times, Max, where it'd be 3 putts from 10 feet to win the hole. And you'd just say, you know, just... You're good. They're not going to 4-putt. These are good players.
We almost saw it.
Yeah, there you go. My life hack to you is when you pack and you're changing planes, just throw a pair of golf pants and a polo, roll it up, throw it in the golf bag. Boom. If you lose your clubs, you got an outfit for a day.
Yeah, I thought about that. The minor issue with that this week, because I was like kicking myself for not having like some sort of outfit in my backpack. The minor issue was we don't get like... our golf balls and gloves down here and hats. So I got to travel with them. So my backpack is slammed.
Gotcha.
With stuff. So I would have loved to, I don't know if I could have fit them. You know, a fresh pair of boxers would have been nice. So I didn't have to do the walk of shame and buy boxers this morning at the hotel, gift shop. So that was cool. I have a best thing I heard this week.
By the way, I love that you called it a walk of shame. You're like, yeah, I need some underwear. Sorry.
It was just weird. You got to ask them, like, do you sell underwear? Like, come on. Like, you're a grown adult.
Go ahead. Go ahead with what you say. You said the best thing you saw this week?
Best thing I heard. It was embarrassing. Best thing I heard, I think it might be on Tour Sauce, I hope. I don't really know, for the No Laying Up guys again. But Solly played Bandon. Shout out to you. I know you've been like 100 times. And apparently on one of the holes, DJ was telling me that it was like up against the ocean on the left and the Pacific Ocean, for those who haven't been like me. And he hit one left Of course, not a good spot. And he yelled out, he said, "Chris, you literally have the entire United States of America to the right."
Just don't go left. Everything else in our country.
Literally America.
You know what else is right of this? Bermuda. You could hit it to Bermuda almost.
You could hit it to Bermuda. Okay.
I have a worse thing I heard this week. It's shockingly. This is going to shock you, Max. It came from Twitter. Can you believe that?
Oh, no. Come on.
Yes, I know. Really?
That never happens.
Big upset. So I was on, I'm still not on Twitter as much as I've been in the past, and it's been nice, but I've told you this a couple times, and I think you've been in total agreement with me. This year, over all years, has been the most negative on Twitter, and anything you say now, anything you say elicits negative responses. Is that fair to say? No matter what, you could say, "Hey, everybody, I hope you have a great day," and you get a response from somebody that go, "It's raining in 30 here. Thanks a lot." You know, you'd get that stuff. So I posted about Phil Mickelson's round on Saturday at Sherwood, and I wrote it was a scorecard through, I think, 11 holes, and it was all birdies, one par, and one bogey, okay? And so I just posted, you know, something with the scorecard and just like one par through 11 holes, normally not good. You know, Phil obviously is making the best of it because he made so many birdies. I get a response from somebody. All it said was, "Still 11 back, still 11 back." And it really rubbed me the wrong way. And I didn't respond to it. I thought about it. But all I could think of in my head is, what is Phil supposed to do?
Yeah. No, you're supposed to give up.
He's playing on Saturday. He's playing this tournament. Should he go out and shoot 90? Nah, I'm not going to win. Why would I even be here? He's playing great golf. He's got an event he's won a whole bunch of times in 2 weeks. It's like, that's not the right spirit of golf or any sport. It's still 11 back.
The most commendable thing you can do in life, but we'll just call it golf, is when things are going poorly, to still treat it like the next thing is the only thing that matters, right? You can always start moving forward at some point. So it's like for someone who's made all of the money, to continue grinding or at least hitting good shots, trying to hit good shots when he's obviously 11 back, as you said, like that's something he should take pride in, not something that should be like
shamed
or joked about. Yes. Like, I don't get, but I mean, listen, like that's the internet. I think this year, the good part about this year has been with social media is I think we have all the sane people have started to finally get me, especially, what anybody says on the internet is just like so irrelevant. Like it's just, you know, like it just is nothing. So you start to see things and just like, that's nothing. Like it just doesn't mean a thing. Like people just are saying things to say things. And this is coming from yours truly, who says, like, you know, makes fun of people about their golf swing when they ask, for the most part. But it's like, you know, there's certain times where it's just like, yeah, like I would have been like, man, I'm happy for Phil. Like he's really trying out here, even though he like does not have to. And then someone else is out there being like, "Yeah, well, he's playing terrible though." Like, yeah, I mean, 11
back. I thought that was great. Maybe a new flight should be. We could start a new flight every week called, "If this was said in real life, would person get punched in the face?"
And we should start that. What part of your body is getting punched? Yeah, are we going chin, chest, little arm nudge, or like a knee to the nuts?
I like that. Hey, you had a sponsored tweet this week, and
you did.
Listen, I, being the not even having the Twitter app on my phone, randomly checking. I check the Twitter website now on Safari.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
I got you. You had mentioned, you know, one of my personal heroes, Gorse the horse. You'd mentioned in a tweet about the Breeders' Cup. And I just completely glossed over the hashtag sponsored, which I got to say, respect, man. I respect when people are like, I mean, I know you're supposed to do that, but I feel like a lot of people don't. So want to say respect for the hashtag sponsored.
Yeah, I didn't know how that worked. They actually like suggested that I did that. But so for those who don't know, I'm doing a little like push for the Breeders' Cup that's coming up in November in about a week and a half. I've always actually loved horse racing, so I'm glad this worked out. I grew up going to Santa Anita Racetrack. But it's cool. You know, they just want to get a little few more eyeballs on it, or at least attention to it. I you know, asked for people's best horse names, so that's why I referenced that Shane obviously knows what his is. I had a lot of good ones. I suggest for the, you know, those of you listening that haven't seen it, if you are on Twitter, go, you know, if you have a funny suggestion, my horse name. So basically the question was, if you had a racehorse, what would you name it? I had a few options. Winner's Win was up there for me, but I ended up going with Turning for Homa. Try to use my last name,
like,
you know, a little pun. Little play on words. So yeah, if you have a good one, send it in. But either way, you know, obviously it's exciting. It's the biggest race. I did not realize how much more money it gives out to not only the racers, but to fans. There's 14 races. $31 million is given away to the race throughout the races. And I think the Kentucky Derby is like 8 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's a significant amount more. So it is the biggest race of the year. And yeah, so I'm pretty cool to be aligned with it. But yeah, I did not even know about the hashtag ad or hashtag sponsored. I always thought it was somebody just saying, hey, listen, like, this isn't my idea. But in these cases, I don't, you know, I typically wouldn't like to do that, because I they are my idea. The way I write them is my idea. What I say is my idea. But yeah, I guess putting hashtag sponsored in there is, it must be a good thing for traction or content or something. So yeah, but pretty excited to be a part of that. Someone just left a 20-footer 8 feet short on the TV. I suggest you get to Golf Channel for tomorrow's Eastlake Cup. This is very fun.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. All right. Well, that's like the fourth time that we've cut out, which means that's probably the end of the podcast. Before we go, did you like hashtag horse, or do you think you ride out hashtag horse as the horse name?
I think I loved hashtag horse. That was a really good one. Like, I think that's up there. Hashtag horse, hashtag. You could do so many good ones. Hashtag racing.
So that'll end our podcast, because you know what? The rumors are the Wi-Fi at the Bermuda Hotel. And when you have a whole bunch of PGA Tour players there, they're all recording their own particular podcasts on Squadcast. You know, the traffic amplifies. Max, I appreciate it. Play well this week. Listen, I know what I'm doing on Thursday, Friday, bro. I got Henry at the house this weekend and all week. You know, we've had to keep it home throughout the week. So Henry and I are going to be watching you with what we can only hope is a better internet connection when you're on PGA Tour Live. What time are your tee time, so people know?
It has to be a better connection. I'll tell you my tee times. I play early on Thursday, so Friday will be on the old PGA Tour Live. Thursday, 8:15. Friday, 12:45. Atlantic time. Literally another hour past East Coast. So
wait, is that for real?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This Dodger game comes out at 9, not 8. It's nuts.
Oh my God. I didn't even know what Atlantic time was. I thought you made it up. What else is in Atlantic time?
Literally, who knows? I'm in the actual Bermuda Triangle right now.
I'm looking up right now. Atlantic Standard Time Zone.
I'd like to give a special shout out to our producer Tim for having to cut up this Wi-Fi reduced podcast.
Nova Scotia's in Atlantic time. Greenland is in Atlantic time. Prince Edward Island, Barbados. Wow, there's a lot. Dominican Republic. I didn't even know this. I didn't even know this thing existed. I will say, you tune in for a golf podcast the last couple of weeks, you hope to hear from Max Homa, PGA Tour star and soon to be 2-time PGA Tour winner and possibly mayor of Bermuda. And what you get for the last 2 weeks, my friends, time zone content. We talk about on this podcast. We are specifically a time zone podcast only from this point forward. That's what we're going to discuss come Monday.
Well, Shane might have froze one last time. No, you're back. All right. Before this goes, I need to tell everybody to wash their hands. It's important. Also, shout out to all the good plaques out there that say things that are just factual and not ridiculous.
Absolutely. You know what? If you have a plaque at your golf course or one you've seen on your phone, please do us a favor and send it to @getagrippod on Instagram. We will not only post the ones that made us laugh that we like, we'll also discuss on next week's podcast.
And add the thing when there's a sprinkler head and it says something like you can't get there. Like add those. I always like those.
Do you like those? I've always
been a fan. Yeah, because it's just like if I was a super or if I was somebody like, you know, working on the golf course, that's me. Like that's literally
for
me
sure.
To a T. I would say, yeah, bud, like put the laser away, hit your 7-iron, let's move on.
Max, I have an idea for a little off season content whenever the golf off season happens. So basically on Christmas Day. No, on Christmas Day, when we record our podcast on Christmas Day, let's come up with some funny little sprinkler head ideas.
I love it.
So instead of just all you got or everything in the bag, or I think I've seen can't get there with a cab before was a good one. If you you and I we'll put this on our radar and I'm sure we'll forget, but if we don't, let's do this. We'll ask Malcolm. Let's get some Malcolm ideas as well. And I'm excited to see you and Malcolm out there. I'm excited to see the bag. What are we setting the over under on during the 72 holes tournament? How many times the bag falls over? What's the over under?
I tell you, it won't be more than one, so 0.5.
You know what? We got to get, if it happens, my God, I hope it happens on PGA Tour Live. We need to see video. I want to see your face. I want to see if it's frustrated, Max, if it's just, if you just give him the look, the stare, I don't know. We'll see. But
we have another practice round tomorrow for the pro-am. So we'll be able to practice the whole laying the thing down. But no, honestly, all jokes aside, Malcolm is really actually super knowledgeable about this golf course. So it's pretty fun. You know, sometimes you get these local caddies that really do know their stuff. And it's fun when he's like, dude, middle of the fairway's right there. And I'm like, okay, yes, sir.
By the way, I had a guy reach out that lives in Birmingham, Alabama. That said, I will fly to Bermuda, caddy for Max. And I just kept thinking to myself, was it a confused guy on where the tournament was? Because Birmingham is not close to Bermuda, but that was the offer we got. I said, nah, Max has a caddy already, so he's good to go.
Birmingham, Alabama is the Bermuda of the Southeast United States, so I get it.
Is that right? Okay, I knew, I thought there was a partnership there,
Bermuda,
but I wasn't
100%
sure.
They're aligned, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Where it is in Birmingham, Alabama, you can see tons of Diamondback terrapins, like all over the place. They're always just walking around in your line, possibly caddy for you, you just never know. Max, that's enough. Have a great week. Play well. Excited to watch. PGA Tour Live this
Thanks,
week.
Thanks,
Shane. Follow Max Homa. Next week's internet's going to be better, I promise you. And you know what? Let's do like Sunday night or Monday recording or whatever, and we'll do like a tournament recap. It's been a while.
If you want good internet, I don't get to Houston until Monday, so let's do it Monday. See you, Shane.
Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.